Blog Talk Radio.
All right, call in, bro. I'll shoot it to you right now. We're going live right now, okay?
Just ignored Dakota in the background. And
sorry
welcome
about
back
that, guys.
To a new episode of Ask Me Levice. I'm your host, Lacey, and as you can hear in the background, we have Dakota again.
And Logan will be joining us And Logan will be joining us, too, if you don't mind. Because he can give us
not.
A good psyche on something that me and you were just talking about the whole grandparent thing. He was raised by his. So that he can give us a good psyche about that.
Yeah. What he's talking about, everybody, is that tonight's episode is on how much parent involvement impacts a child's development in life. We had a lot of questions that came in about just asking for advice on how to help with their kids, like aunts and uncles raising nieces and nephews, grandparents raising their kids. We have same-sex marriages questions. We have, divorce couples, and then we got single moms, and then we even had a single dad who had sent in some questions. So that's what brought on this episode tonight. And Dakota has done a lot of research. Look at him go.
Yay, 2 weeks in a row, guys. 2 weeks in a row.
I'm so proud of him. He stayed focused.
I got
let
stoned
me know
in
when
research.
When Logan's
yeah,
on.
Boy. Logan is on. I just didn't want to interrupt you because you were in the talking.
Oh, you're good. Welcome, Logan.
Well, thank you guys for having me on here. How are you guys doing tonight?
Hanging in there.
Awesome, Brisky. Awesome.
Awesome.
Okay.
Now, people
that
do not know Logan, he's been on a few of our shows, and he's really good friends with Danny Tokes, who hosts another one of our shows. So that's his background with us.
Yeah.
Oh,
him and Tommy Bongs are real close. Yeah, I appreciate you guys having me on here, man. Dakota said it was something that I could relate to, so I could figure.
Yeah.
So, there's one that you can relate to on this.
Yeah.
This episode's on how much parent involvement impacts a child's life or development, and that's like different parenting in general. Like if you're raised by your grandparents, if you're raised by same-sex couples, if you're brought up with broken homes, it's just information on a lot of that.
I came from your parents, correct? Correct. I was raised by my grandparents. They actually ended up adopting me. I can't remember. I was almost 10 or something like that. And they adopted me because my mom, she was a drug dealer and she was involved in a lot of stuff and she wound up going to prison. And they wound up absolutely changing my life entirely, and I never knew my dad. My dad was just flaked out he went to prison like 6 months before I was even born. So I've never met the guy, but yeah, I have some very amazing grandparents, I'll tell you that.
And when did they adopt you? How old were you when they adopted you?
I was like 8 or 9. Yeah.
Did you tell a difference
like
health and school before you were adopted and then after?
Yeah, there was a big difference from the childhood I had with my mom, considering she was a, drug dealer / user, never really there, younger siblings, and I had older brothers that were around, but they were kind of doing their own thing too. So I helped raise my 3 younger siblings all the way up until the point of when we all got split up. And they're half Native American, so they weren't allowed to get adopted by my grandparents because they had to stay with someone from their tribe. So, we all literally got just scattered to the wind after she went.
Do you still contact with them now?
My siblings, yes. Yeah, we're all pretty conversive with each other, and we stay in touch pretty good. But As far as like my mom, definitely not. I do not speak to her. Haven't spoke to her in, I don't know, years.
That's understandable. Your grandmother's your mom. You know, she's the one that raised you.
Right.
Yeah. You know, there's a difference. That's why another question from some people that had called in, they asked if it was bad if they didn't even consider their parents being their parents. And that's just the thing.
Not.
Parents, a definition as a parent is someone who takes care and raises a child. It doesn't mean that they're blood. You know, it's the person who's there. So.
Right. And,
you know,
my grandfather. Right. I apologize.
Oh, you're fine. Go on.
My grandfather, he actually adopted my biological mother too. He was he wasn't her biological father, and he met my grandmother when she was, you know, a single mom, and married her, and then adopted my mom, and then went on to have two more children, and then later on adopted me. So the love that I had from them was immense, and the respect and love that I have for my parents. My mom just passed away this October, and my dad's, you know, for the first time in 48 years, he's alone, you know, and it's been a real blessing to be able to be here with him and kind of help him through this time and kind of return the favors, because, you know, I mean, you guys, both of you know that my life has been anything but settled.
Normal.
It's been
your life's been anything but normal,
yeah.
Bro.
Yeah, absolutely. My life has been absolutely anything but normal. And my grandparents, who I call mom and dad, my parents, they stood by me through absolutely everything. They used to make trips to the prison and visit me. When I was in a prison across the country, they would come and fly in for a weekend and visit me for 2-3 days, and they were just an immense support system, and the love that I got from them far superseded the abandonment that I had for my mom and my dad.
Right.
But it was different.
Yeah. That's like, I was looking up some information because of some of the other questions that have come in about that too, and about 2% of the U.S. children as of August 4th, 2020, the last study that was done, 2% of the U.S. children are raised by their grandparents. And that doesn't sound like a lot, but that's 2.9 million children.
Correct.
That's quite a bit. A lot of people have kind of, like when you go to school and you do like all your test studies and stuff like that, like when you do your TCATs and stuff like that, you have to fill out little packets before you take them. Do you remember doing those in school? And
yeah, I remember doing those.
On there,
correct.
It asks you like if you're in a two-parent household, stuff like that. Now they have to have questions on there that even breaks it down there. Now, do you live with your parents or do you live with your grandparents? It breaks it all down now because kids don't,
right.
You know.
Right.
There's so many differences now. But that's
right.
Just one thing that I had actually talked about on a different show was that the definition for family, there isn't one definition for family. It's one of the only words in the dictionary that has many, many, many different meanings and many different definitions, because there's not just one for that.
Right, because, I mean, you don't have to be blood to be family, man.
Right, exactly.
Right.
Family and blood is two different things now.
Yeah. I've been hurt
more
by family.
You guys know me, I'm
my
only child. Y'all know me, I'm my only child, but I got a few brothers and sisters out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, Logan, you I can say to you, brother, bro.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was raised in a different kind of household. I had both of my biological parents. However, both of my parents were disabled. So growing up with my parents was completely different with people growing up with healthier parents. But that didn't mean that, and I mean, I was raised poor, I'm not going to lie. We didn't have a lot of money. And people were like, oh, you were raised poor. But actually, I look at it as me being raised rich because I got to know my parents on a different level.
You got to experience life a little bit with that, too, if you think about it.
Right.
And I got to experience the important things. At a young age, I got to realize the difference between what true happiness is and what money is and that temporary happiness is. So,
Correct.
My parents were also older when they had me. My sister is 10 years older than me, and then me and my brother are exactly 1 year apart. So,
Logan, you'll like this term. They're Irish twins.
We are. We're Irish twins.
My daughters are Irish twins. They're 10 months apart.
You two have the same birthdays, though, don't you? Same day, 1 year apart. And then, if you're born less than a year apart, and then to the year, you're Irish twins. And
They're born 10 months and 1 day apart.
Yeah, but Lacey and her brother actually share a birthday, though. Like, literally.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they're exactly a year apart, yeah.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Well, I mean.
Yeah, our girls are at that point right now where they're trying to understand the pecking order of who's in charge. And the bigger one, who's 10 months older, calls the smaller one, who's 10 months younger, the baby. And it about starts a fist fight every time, and they're only 2 and 3, so. Yeah.
I understand. I can actually tell you from experience growing up.
Yay me, right?
Yay you. But listen, the bond between kids and that kind of situation is amazing. Me and my brother,
Correct.
We were raised pretty much as twins. So, you know, we were each other's first friend. You know, you said that your siblings are your first friend or whatever, but when you're that close, it's a little different. Never had a birthday party without each other, not even if you wanted to.
Those weren't an option, yeah.
Yeah, you best be into the same
one
thing
cake.
When it party.
Oh, yeah. Did you guys have to share a cake?
We did.
Yeah, one cake, two sets of candles.
Yeah. But listen, the coolest thing was that my favorite was vanilla and his favorite was chocolate. So my mom literally would make 2 sheet cakes and put them together and then ice them. And so
side
of the cake would be vanilla and one side of the cake would be chocolate. So, you know, but growing up in that type of environment, it was difficult in school because, you know,
kids are mean.
I didn't have
kids
a lot of money to buy extra assistance if I needed it, you know. But I didn't think anything else of, like, my clothes or anything like that. I mean, my parents got my clothes from Walmart or Goodwill. It didn't matter. That didn't bother me much. But as far as, like, having, like, the extracurricular, I couldn't do a lot of that until I got older. And that's because stay after school on my own and stuff like that, and that kind of hurt my educational. I couldn't stay after for educational groups. Does that make sense?
Right.
I was a little farther behind in some things, but I gained that when I got into middle school and to high school, and it got easier.
Right.
And I noticed when I did research that a lot of kids from poor backgrounds, they have the same dilemma. Usually they go to a poor school. Here in Tennessee, you know, you all go to the same school because there's only one school for each county. Like, everything's kind of poor. So I was lucked out on
Virginia. So yeah, no,
I lucked out on that a lot.
I don't really want to say how many schools we had in Yuma then, man, because there's like 30.
Oh yeah, man. Yeah, there were so many schools in Yuma. See, I got really, truthfully blessed, man, by some fate of the end. You know, my grandparents, they had had 2 children before me, and they had been married for, you know, 20 years by the time I came around. And so my dad had worked for the same company since he was 17 years old. He retired as a corporate general manager of the field hall. So, I mean, my dad had a very good job. He traveled 6 months out of the year. So he would be gone, but he would pop in for weekends and, you know, we would go up and see him. But financially, they were very, very responsible. I didn't get that from them, but they were definitely very responsible with money. And they sent me to a private school at first. But when you're talking about, you know, kids and things like that, these kids found out my grandparents adopted me and my mom was a drug dealer. And that made my life hell. So all the rich kids hated me. All the poor kids hated me because I had, you know, a PlayStation. And it was just a bad time for, you know, to go through education. But as I went a little bit further and I started going to public schools, people really didn't talk too much shit to me after that when I started hitting people back. But
I relate a lot to the I didn't have a lot because my parents, you know, they weren't able to give the money, you know, for you to have video games,
right,
stuff like that. Actually, my parents saved up and got a Nintendo 64 for my sister, my brother, and myself, all for Christmas. That was our family gift. We didn't get much other things that Christmas, but that was the big gift. You know, we played all together. And, of course, you know, everybody else was, like, getting ready to have a PlayStation 1 and stuff, and I'm over here enjoying Donkey Kong 4.
Oh, my God.
You know?
Okay, I got a funny 64 story. Okay, my family, when I was growing up, we weren't just poor, but we weren't rich or nothing, right? So I was about 9 or so, and for my birthday, they got me a 64. No games, because back then the games cost, fuck, dude, they were like $90 just for the game. Yeah, something like that, right?
63.
So I literally, luckily I had nicer older cousins that let me borrow their games.
Right. So you had the console, you just needed to borrow games.
Right.
Cool thing. Blockbusters is awesome. So
I grew up with like more of my cousins' like hand-me-down stuff, you know, like toy wise and stuff.
Right,
a lot of the toys
I
had when I was a kid in the 90s are just toys from the 80s. You know, stuff like
Yeah, because your parents were a little bit older too, you know what I mean? And I mean they weren't older or anything like that, but they were a little bit older than, you know, the rest of our friends were,
Yeah, they waited a few years. Oh,
yeah,
your parents
were in their 50s. Yeah. And my dad was like 50s, and my dad was a big guy, and he's shrunk down a lot since he's gotten older, but he was a real intimidating figure. And
I can see that, dude, because I can see that with him.
Yeah, all the way up until like his 60s, man, he was working hard and instilling great ethics in his kids, and he's great for my kids. His grandkids love him. And, you know, you learn a lot about the world later on, and you can kind of look back and remember the things that your parents did and went through and the sacrifices that my parents made and that your parents made. And, you know, those things, I think that mentality is kind of lost on these kids.
It is.
Now,
well, that's children, like,
you know, babies having babies.
Yeah.
You hit it right on the nose,
like,
bro.
People tell me all the time, I'm 30 years old, but I have a work ethic that's a lot different than people my age.
Right.
And I'm not saying that it is different because I don't realize it because sometimes I have a lot of older friends, you know, so I don't really realize it until I sit down thinking, I'm like, oh, wait, my friends are older than me. They're doing this, you know. They didn't do this when they were my age. Or I have the mentality of, they're not too much older than me. They'll be like 41 and I'm 30. You know, it's not that big of a deal to me. I was working three jobs for the end of this past year, three jobs at a time. Because I pay my bills. I that's the way I was raised. You know, you work, you pay your bills, and your boss is your boss. You show them respect, you know.
Absolutely.
It's different now. You have these kids coming into work now that, one, they're like, oh, it's too much work on one person. And I'm sitting here thinking, For example, in the nursing home setting for a CNA, they come in and they have, you know, 8 people on their caseload. They're like, oh, my God, it's a lot of people. You know, back in the day, you had 150 people in a nursing home, and usually on your caseload,
right,
you would have 17 to 20, you know.
Well, see,
right,
that's what they don't understand
and
about us in the kitchen sometimes.
People would be up,
like,
would be
some
clean,
of the CNAs
would
come back there for things, and they, like you said, they only have, like, 8 people they got to worry about. Us in the kitchen, we're
right,
thinking of 50, 60 people,
yeah,
we got to worry about.
Right. And so it's just a different mindset. You know, I'm not saying that they're any worse or anything. Some of them are, because they don't want to do this work. But
yeah,
when
well,
he's trying
to
say, guys,
to
is you kids need to freaking get jobs, all right?
Yeah.
Well, yeah,
and if you don't
for
like what you're doing, do what you like until it makes money, man. That's my message.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Don't waste other people's time if you don't. You're not going to be coming into work either. You
right
know, there's. It's just
right
a whole different
well,
place.
That's
when you
my
think
big
about
pet peeve
nowadays. Working now.
Is these people putting in applications and then they come in for the interviews and then they just don't show back up? Or they come in for like
well,
a day?
Right. Right.
They show proof to unemployment
yeah
that they applied and they had
right
an interview. Then they just say they didn't get the job and they can continue getting unemployment.
Yeah. And I mean, that's a story with everybody that seems like they're, I mean, that's a major, major percentage of the American population right now is they're just walking around
oh, yeah
with their house shoes on because they're not wanting to work and they've got their hand out and they're wanting everything given to them and not on top of that, but they want the best of everything given to them. So
yeah
that way that they don't feel excluded from the people who bust their ass. And the reality is, man, that's not how life works. You
right
cannot, you cannot just step into the world unless your daddy has bukus of bucks and he can pay your way to grease you into a good position. There is nowhere in life that you can just step out of your comfort zone that you're in now and make it into a successful position without hard work and blood, sweat, and tears.
It's the
no
truth.
Way.
Couldn't have said it any
and
better.
So,
actually, that is the truth.
It is. And, you know, the sad thing is, look at how intelligent these kids are, though. Like, they're so intelligent that they can play the system so well that they're not even having to go out to work. Use your powers for
right
good, people. Like, you know,
right
that's the sad. That's the
right
sad thing. You have all this potential that you could be great. But
right
here you
just
are.
Just think if we had all this shit like they do nowadays when we were kids. You know how much further I would be ahead
we'd
on my comedy shit.
No, I think we would just be as spoiled as they are.
Exactly. Because
you know,
like,
you're probably people right.
That's, I think that was where my
no, I do agree with that.
Going about like how I was raised to what how it is now is that I had to rough it in a lot of places, you know, to actually get it.
Right.
You know,
absolutely.
If you're given
and
it,
that's how
you don't
that's how life is.
It. It's just if you did when you worked for it, you know, it's
exactly
different. When you work for it after
exactly
that blood, sweat, and tears, and you get it, that's a type of joy that nobody can replicate. You know, that's something you did on your own. You know, you have all the cheerleaders that you have, your parents and stuff like that. My parents were my greatest cheerleaders. They didn't have the money to push on to me or anything else, but they had the love and the encouragement that I needed. It was totally different.
Correct.
And
see,
and so
a lot of people can't differentiate that difference between money and true happiness. That's the big part that we're these kids can go online and make $10 and not have to do anything and then sit there and blow that $10 and then they wonder why they don't have any money. And it's called a deterioration of society based on too much access. Too much access.
You just looked that up. I feel like you just looked that up.
No, I read it in I read it in the psychology magazine somewhere.
Holy
yeah
shenanigans.
He's right. Like, it's just everything falls down around, you know, around you. Like, our economy is falling down. Because here we are getting up to this point in age where these kids are starting to be able, where they're supposed to be able to start taking over some things, and they're not there. So things are just falling. And, you know, there's not enough.
Yes.
There's not enough of people that actually work.
There's not enough
going.
Yeah, not enough reality in their dreams, and that's a problem with a lot
no,
of people. Is they think that
everything's
their dreams
reality TV, which let me tell you, everything in reality
yeah.
TV is false. That's it's all television. It's for your entertainment. It's not life.
Everybody wants to be a Kardashian nowadays.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody.
I mean, that's just the cold hard truth. Like everybody thinks they can be a Kardashian. Girls,
and
don't put on sex tapes because it ain't going to get you nowhere.
The sad thing
yeah.
is you're only seeing
everybody's
all the hours of the show that they, you know, put on to air. They actually do
right.
more work than they're
but
trying to pretend
look at,
to be
look
there.
At it this way, though. All these people want to be these Kardashians and everything, even the stuff they show us on TV and things, right? How many of them have been divorced in the past 5, 10 years or whatever?
Oh, God.
How many of them have been divorced 2 or 3, 4,
celebrity
5 times in the past few years?
Celebrity time for marriage is totally different than the estimate of marriage years for an American.
Correct.
It's crazy.
Correct. Correct.
You know, usually if you're in a celebrity, if you're in a relationship 10 years or older, that's rare. I mean,
yeah.
you know.
Very.
It's sad,
very
but true.
Well, that industry itself, it's based around extorting people's abilities to make everybody money while giving them a false sense of empowerment. That's what acting, Hollywood, music, all that stuff does. It's taking an artistic ability that they have, and they're emphasizing it with the use of, you know, bigger screens, bigger sound effects, bigger productions, and bigger things. And they're literally draining everything from these people. Like, celebrities look happy, man, but I've seen people who went from being famous to not, and they will tell you that being that level of person takes every part of your soul away from you, so you don't have anything to give to another person for a successful, healthy relationship. You're so centralized around success with your movie and your new deal and
always needing validation,
what's hot and what's not. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so
like,
the first
I don't know
time
if
that that person shows you your humanity, they're gonna run.
Right. Well, I don't know if you've seen the speech where Selena Gomez, for example, like when she come back and like she finally got one of her awards after years of being out of it, and she's come back, and she's up there, and instead of giving a normal speech that we're used to or whatever, she gives a speech on mental health where, you know, she's telling you about how awful it was, even though she made sure she looked happy. And she made sure that she looked like, you know, life was grand, even though it wasn't. You know,
yep.
It's all a show that they give you. You don't get to see
yep.
their life day in, day out. Like, you know,
no.
One of my favorite shows to watch of all time is Friends. Like, mm-hmm. you go back talk like to Courtney Cox when she came out for their anniversary or whatever. I didn't, you know, nobody knew that she struggled on the show because she couldn't have a kid. Had trouble getting pregnant, and she had went through a divorce, and she lost her father within the same month. Like, nobody knew any of that, you know,
no.
or, oh, God, I can't think of the guy that played Chandler's name now, Matthew Perry is
no.
Chandler. Yeah.
That's
right.
Right.
No? Wait,
yeah.
okay,
Matthew
you think Luke
yep.
Perry, I think, bro, the one that passed away, right?
Oh, I think his name, I don't know, it might be, bro. I might be wrong.
There was a Luke Perry that was on, like, 907-950 or whatever.
Yeah.
Like Matt Perry.
Yeah,
2.0.
Yeah.
Anyway,
he also,
you know,
he played,
went to all his drugs. I can't remember half the show he was on, you know. None of us, you know, get to see everything that's behind the scenes.
Does that
we
explain
just
his weight gain during
it.
The show?
Yeah, that's why his
drugs?
Weight gain. Yeah, he
okay.
was on and
that
off drugs.
Sense,
and see, nobody,
so,
nobody
I mean,
knew
you know, you never know.
None of this stuff is privy to the public.
Exactly. Like, just seeing
I mean,
them
now
once a week
media,
on TV.
You have access to...
Oh, go ahead, bro. I'm sorry.
Right.
Oh, you go ahead.
With social media, you have access to basically everyone's life immediately. And these people who are influencers and, you know, whatever you want to call them, Those people fabricate their lives to the point that it's insane. And it's all for validation and money. And it's not anything unlike Hollywood usually is. But with the access to social media now, those people have absolutely no privacy. No way to get away from it. And I don't know why you'd ever want that, man.
I don't know. And it's like also, you know, people, they get angry with them for their decisions in their life. That's like, for example, we just got to witness Will Smith slap, oh, God.
Chris Rock.
So it was a huge thing. People were talking about they're not going to watch his movies anymore. They lost all respect for him. They've done this, they've done that. He come out publicly and had to apologize to me. Okay, he's a human being, okay? He had to come out, publicly apologize to everybody after he'd already apologized to Chris Rock, and they're okay, they're fine. But he had to come out and apologize to everybody in the whole world when we had nothing to do with it. We were not involved in that situation whatsoever. But because...
I got two things to say about the whole Will Smith thing.
Their life...
Right.
We're all involved, you know. It wouldn't be the same if it was just like Dakota and me. Like, I walked up and smacked Dakota. And it all turned out
that
to
that would
be...
result in a felony.
Hey, guys, you guys remember George's mom on Seinfeld? I just saw this on the news right now as I'm looking over. She just passed away. Breaking news.
Yeah. She just passed? Oh, no.
Just passed. 93 years old. Sorry to interrupt. 2022's
been a
bitch,
man.
I just looked over and literally it was popping on my news screen.
Oh, man.
But about the whole Will Smith, Chris Rock thing, there's an issue that was caused from it. And being a comic, it kind of hits me a little personal with this. Now, anybody that thinks somebody just pissed, like say I'm on stage, right? And I say a joke and somebody takes it the wrong way. Now they're going to think they can just come up there and try to hit me. Because Will Smith did it and got away with it.
Right.
And that's not how things need to be. It's going to get – it sets the tone for what's going to end up happening with shit. It's going to be where stand-up comedy or stand-up comedians are going to have to start carrying guns and shit now because of Will Smith.
I kind of see it in a different angle.
And Lacey, let me ask you a question about this. What do you think his mindset was? Because – a week ago at this point, so I've been seeing a lot of stuff about it, right? And some of the stuff that he, like for example, when he said, keep my wife's name out of your mouth, he didn't say keep Jada's name out of your mouth and nothing like that. He was trying to make, because all that shit's been going on with, like, his wife cheating on him or whatever their relationship is with that other dude, right? Maybe his mindset, focusing on that, you know, like, well, maybe if I'm like, I stand up for her, she'll see that like I'm the guy, you know, whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
instead of being out with some other
dude
or something.
Bro. Yeah, you have to understand psychologically. He went through something that a lot of people go through, but his open to the public that literally it was amplified by 1,000, by 1,000,000, because now everybody in the world is making a comment about him and his wife's relationship. You know, and they're just human beings.
They already made
a
few on the show before that, so.
Right,
you know.
Right. And they've, and I mean.
The whole thing was, which it broke down because we only got to see during the show and then the memes all come out and everything, were clips of what happened. And so then they had to go back and show the whole thing slowly so you could watch the whole thing that happened because people were all jumping to conclusions and getting angry. And what happened, he made his joke. Jada has got a diagnosis now where, she's bald, okay? Usually laughs off the jokes that they had. He already laughed off the jokes earlier in the show. So you see him laughing, but then you see him turn on the camera and you see him see her, and she's tearing up, you know?
Exactly.
So
that's what I mean,
though.
Like, did he do that to try to be, like, the alpha male?
He apologizes. He's like, I'm human. You know, I got angry And I just did it on impulse. You know, he did it without thinking. And so people think
Correct.
He's above being a human, and he's not. You know, that's one of the problems that we have right now is
well,
for
see,
celebrities.
I also heard this about it.
Believe that
I also
above.
Heard that the Academy Award people asked him to leave right after that happened, and he wouldn't leave. Like, he told him
they,
pretty much, F off, I'm not leaving.
At first, Denzel Washington, if you notice, when they show, like, the break stuff, like I said, they had to go through and show all the whole thing afterwards with
yeah.
no cuts or anything, so people would
calm down.
Oh, Denzel
gave him some good advice. When you make it that big in your life, that's when, you know, trouble actually hits you. He didn't really say those
right.
words, but that's
well,
what
you gotta,
Denzel was getting at.
One thing, too, you got to remember, there's a little bit of a history between this. So a few years ago, Chris Rock was making a statement at the Academy Awards, and he made a joke saying Jada Pinkett Smith has, you know,
she wasn't
like,
what it was.
What is it
she
called?
Wasn't a, she was protesting. This is back in like 2015 or 2016.
Oh, boycotting.
She was protesting
his
the Academy.
Was,
yeah, she was boycotting it. And
his joke was
you know what
Jada Pinkett Smith. Yeah, his joke was Jada Pinkett Smith boycotting the Oscars is like me boycotting Megan Fox's pants. I'm never going to be there anyway. And
I wasn't invited.
That happened
is what
a
it
few
was.
Years ago.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well,
he's yeah.
like,
I mean,
he it's like
kinda...
boycotting Megan Fox's panties. I was never invited into them anyway, or something like that was what it
yeah.
was.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
it all stems back.
And
but they're all friends, though. That's the bad thing about
yeah,
it.
Like
the thing.
I said,
yeah.
after everything calmed down, it was like something, it happens, you're human, and especially when you're in a relationship and you feel like you have to be, I mean, that's your wife, you're supposed to protect her, stuff like that.
Correct.
He's human, like he said, you can't forget that he's human, even though he's this person that everybody thinks should be perfect, he's not, you know? And I think that was a very important thing that for us to learn was that it's not all a show for us to watch. They're not, they're just, you know, they're humans
and
too. They have a job.
Well,
they're there for
let me throw this out there too. Do you guys think that maybe he has, I think we just lost Logan. Maybe he'll call back in a minute. But do you think maybe he has mental health issues and maybe, when I say this, because like his kids seem like they have mental health issues with the way they act and things, you know what I mean, from some of the stuff you see that they post. And so do you think maybe that's something that runs in that family?
Well, I mean, when you're in a spotlight most of the time like that, celebrities do have mental health issues that nobody really realizes. They have anxiety. They
I mean,
have
look
depression.
At Amanda Burns, that chick from the Amanda show on Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
She went crazy, threw bongs out the window at people. I mean, she went crazy a few years back. Britney Spears. I mean, you see it at that high level of fame, like,
yeah,
you just see
I mean,
it happening more and more, so it's, I don't know.
You have mental breaks when it comes to certain things. You have expectations you feel like you have to live up to, and even if you didn't have mental health before, then it develops a mental health because your mental health is not healthy. You're not looking at life like you should. You're holding yourself to higher expectations than, like you said, like a normal human should have, you know? It just kind of blew up, and I'm sitting here reading all these comments about, for example, for like comedians, they're angry because they feel like people can just get up and hit them on stage.
Yeah, exactly.
Then you got
that's the way I see it
other
too.
Ones that are, and I mean, I'm not saying that they're wrong to feel like they're fearful of that at all. However,
okay, we got Logan
also
back
remind
there.
You
right,
as
here,
comedian,
yeah.
Right, but here's the thing about that. Will Smith's background is comedy too. Like Will Smith's background is comedy too, so he should know that when things are said in a comedic thing like that among friends, that it should be taken as a joke.
Yeah,
I mean when you have roast comics, right, and they roast somebody, the thing of the roast is to make fun of that person. It's all in fun and games, but that's the thing
however,
of the roast, to make fun of that person. I get
that.
Like, I get the time,
however,
but that's what he was supposed to be doing in a way. He was supposed to be roasting the crowd a little bit to, you know, carry on with it. You know, like, okay, he was making fun of other people before that, too. So it ain't like it was just he picked her. It ain't like he was just like, I'm going there to pick her out, you know. But if you guys also notice, Will Smith and her wouldn't have been sitting at the same table, it looked like. It looked like they had, like, two tables between them.
No, they were. They were right next to each other.
Oh, were they?
Yeah.
Oh, I think we just lost Lacey. What is going on? We are dropping callers tonight, guys.
I don't know.
I lose Logan,
like,
now
I'm married.
Lacey.
Like, I'm married, you know what I mean? And my wife is absolutely my treasure, okay? So me being a person with a checkered past and, you know, restraint issues, if someone is ever, ever openly disrespectful or hostile or any kind of aggression is shown towards my wife, the response that I have is immediate. Now,
right.
In
but
that type of situation,
now,
you
just
should
because,
know
now,
that
listen
these
to how you said that, though.
Yeah.
That the way you are, though, like the way you, your past, like what you just said, right? You've been to prison, stuff like that, right? That's the thing. Like, you come from
that
background where they
that.
Disrespect your wife, you're going to slap them and stuff. I get that. But Will Smith doesn't come from that background. He comes from
from
40 years almost.
It doesn't matter how long he's been a comedian. You're more than just your job. You're a human.
Right.
No, I get that.
And so
he took that moment to show that he was a very protecting husband.
Yeah, and sometimes when emotions get involved, you're not going
to
be
the comedian. Agree to disagree.
You're going to be the husband.
I agree with you guys on what you're saying, but I also think it was at the wrong time, wrong place, wrong time. If he was going to do that, wait till they got backstage and slap the fuck out of him.
Nobody said that was done, but I'm saying it opened eyes to people that things happen, and when you're humans, things get messy. It's not nothing's perfect, but they make it look to be. Nothing is perfect. And it also brings, like I was saying earlier, trying to say, was that for comedians, it kind of maybe opened their eyes to, I know that you roast the crowd and stuff, but also read your crowd, you know?
Correct.
It's a lesson for them, too.
I've always said that. That's one thing you got to know about comedy is you got to be able to read the crowd, like what you're saying.
You know? Yeah. So, you know what I mean? There was multiple roasts already on the wife. So, when the situation come up, which is what Chris Rock said later, I should have read the situation before I made my joke. And so what he was saying was, I didn't think either that was my job.
Did
you know?
Chris Rock know, did Chris Rock know that
laugh
he had that disease?
Stick on the people in the crowd.
No.
He said, and I didn't think about it. He said, and I didn't think about her illness either.
Did he know she had that? When he said the joke, though, did he know that she had that disease?
No.
No, he didn't do that thinking about
that.
He was saying he didn't
Yeah, but when he said it, though, did he know that she had it, though? Like he already knew she had that disease, or did he find out after that?
Everybody knows that she has it because she came out about her disease, but not a lot of people have talked about it. But he didn't put two and two together, like her being bald and G.I. Jane being bald. Does that make – you know what I'm saying? Like, he wasn't thinking of that.
Intentionally being disrespectful.
Now, okay, in the long run, though, should Demi Moore be more pissed off at Chris Rock about this because making fun of – made a G.I. Jane joke?
Like,
because she was starting the original one and
she
was bald.
She would have laughed more than what like, it hit Jed a little different because – you know.
Now, let's just think.
Going on with her,
15 years ago, would Ashton Kutcher got on stage and slapped Chris Rock over that?
Absolutely.
Wasn't Ashton Kutcher married to Demi Moore for a little bit?
He never did have the diagnosis for that. You're missing the whole point.
Yeah, you're drawing up hypotheticals with similar circumstances to try and validate a fucking response, but it's not going to work.
No, I get the disease thing. I get that, right? But it's like his reaction was just not, I don't know. You guys are missing my point with it, though. Coming from a comic's view, it's just wrong place, wrong time. Don't be doing that shit in front of the crowd type of shit. Wait till you get backstage.
Oh, absolutely.
And I agree with that. He shouldn't have done that. That was wrong. However, like I said, even though it was wrong, it wasn't a shock to me that it happened. Does that make sense? Because, I mean, humans do stupid shit like that all the time. You don't think. You act before you think. So it just kind of opens your eyes to, like, people actually being people. They're not just celebrities and perfect. They're people.
Right.
So, you know, it happens, and mental health is part of that.
Right.
And you long story short is, though, that the Smith household is not whipping their hair back and forth anymore. Too early. Too early.
Oh.
Slap me, Will. Slap me.
Yeah. Slap me. I need the paycheck, bro. Please.
Yeah. Right, that's what I'm saying. I'm not Chris Rock, bro. I'll fucking lawsuit your ass. Slap me, Will.
Yeah. I'll have lawyers lined up at my door being like, hey, man, what do you want to do about this? You ain't going to fucking take that, are you?
But no, like, I get what you guys are saying about the disease thing. Like, read your crowd. I understand that completely. But I just see it as,
it
like, Will Smith could have acted more professional about it. He could have been more professional at the time is all I'm getting out of it.
Which is why I think he kind of just froze, because once he did slap him the way that he did, he realized what happened. Like, he was like, oh, crap, you know. But he carried on and went on like a comedian does and goes on with the show, you know.
Let me ask you guys this, though. Did it look like Chris Rock sort of knew he was about to get slapped? And that's why
someone's walking up to you like that, you're about to get hit, bro. I mean, I personally, for me, man, I can tell when someone has the intentions on causing me physical body harm probably within the first two or three steps that they take towards me. You know what I mean?
But for him just to put his face out like that, you would think maybe he would have been like stepping
braced,
you know, like, man, this man coming at me.
He braced, bro. He braced.
He did.
He was trying to do it as professionally as he could.
When you first watched it, I kind of wondered if it
was maybe Will Smith was just going to joke with him about it or something. You know, like maybe
he
thought Will Smith was going to, like,
slap
him or something.
But then when you watch him actually lose his footing and stumble a little bit and
he cussed right after that, too.
Yeah.
He said Will Smith just bitch slapped me or something like that. And no offense, if you're hosting something like that, you wouldn't be able to just sit there and cuss like he did. Unless it was some kind of live crazy shit that happened like that.
And also, taking from the topic of our show, to adding back to this, his kids, we were talking about his kids having a lot of issues and stuff like that. Look how much issues him and his wife is having maritally. And it's kind of laid out on the kids. Look how confused they are about a lot of things in their life. I mean, I can't even follow their social media stuff. It's different every day.
Especially the son. He quotes so much crazy stuff that you can't even figure out what the hell he's talking about.
Now the daughter is also came out. And, like, I support anybody. I love everybody for however they are. But it's confusing when you don't even have a term for a pronoun for yourself, when you just call yourself a them.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. No, I don't mind if people, you know, want to be addressed as a girl if they're a dude, but you can't expect everybody to,
is she a girl or a guy? You guys got to be confused. First I've heard of this.
She is not.
She's not a he or she's not a she. So she's a
non-binary.
Man.
So, yeah.
Okay. Well, this is going to sound mean, but what body part does she have then? Is she...
She's a
actually,
girl.
It's not about physical anatomy. Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. So this is all mental wise. So if I say I want to be a cat, I'm a cat.
You're born or whatever, they're starting you at an early age now that, you know, you have a choice of what you can be. You know, it's already confusing trying to figure out who you are anyway on your own, going through life.
The world is going fucking crazy.
Learning who you are, and now they're. People are being homeschooled. They're not having any socialization with each other. They don't know how to communicate. Everybody's offended about everything that they say to one another. Nobody can have an adult conversation where you can argue, but just debate. You can debate. It's a different thing than arguing and fighting.
We literally just had debate about me not understanding what you guys are saying about the bald thing, right? I didn't get mad.
Right.
I was just like, well, this is my opinion. This is y'all's opinion. This, now we're,
right.
You know, but
Micah, we're not mad. You know, it's just a different view of things, which is how the world
a different mentality
is supposed to be. You know,
yeah.
If everybody looked at everything the same way, you know, we would be boring. I mean, come on now. Like,
ain't that the truth? Ain't that the truth?
But anyway, I think we're getting close to the end of the time for the show.
Well,
so,
we already went over, and I reset it for an hour, so we can keep going for another 8 minutes if you want.
Awesome.
I didn't want to say anything because you were doing so good, Lacey.
Well,
a little backstory on that, guys. Lacey always asks me, like, how'd the show go afterwards and, you know, for criticism. I always tell her she sounds nervous sometimes. Not all the time, just sometimes. But, hey, yeah, tonight, no nervousness. I didn't hear no nervous in her. What about you, Logan?
No, very confident.
I take constructive criticism correctly, which is another thing that I can say that a lot of people don't have anymore, is
absolutely
just the ability to take constructive criticism.
Yeah, and everybody gets a participation medal now, so it's
yeah, I know, like
the winners. Yeah.
Oh, man,
listen,
I remember playing baseball. We would have to win the season to actually get
one.
A trophy.
Yeah.
Right.
And now everybody gets
right.
one when you turn around, but,
yeah.
you know. But it takes
yeah,
away from the – nobody really wants to try much anymore because they know they're all going to get a medal at the end.
Yep.
Sad but true.
But
anyways, you know.
Oh, yeah, you're just like sad but true.
Sad but true.
It's awful.
Well, it's what happens when you let your kids be raised in front of a TV and you don't spend time with them and instill morals in them and make them, you know, into people that you'd want them to be versus just the people that they are. Because I have two kids, and if I let them, yeah.
You know, allow the kids to be kids while they can. Because
right.
if you make them grow up and make all these decisions and be like all this right now, that's what causes these mass blow-ups when they get in their mid-20s, 30s, and 40s, okay? And they don't know what to do with their life. Like, seriously, they revert back because they never were able to be a kid. That's why you start out young and you learn and you get older, and that's why you get wise. You just allow the children to be children when they're children instead of, you know, making them grow up early, making them feel like they have all this responsibility and everything that they had to have figured out right now.
Yep.
You know, of course, that's my opinion.
Right.
But
she hosts this
well, hey
show,
guys,
so her opinion matters.
Yeah. Hey, you guys, I really appreciate you guys having me on here tonight, man. I'm going to have to get off here and go take care of the kiddos, man. But you guys have a great night, and I really appreciate you guys having me on here.
Thank you for coming
anytime,
on.
Anytime, broski, anytime. Yeah, man, thank you. And
you guys
thank
have
you
a good
for
night.
Sharing your story like you did.
Absolutely, man. Good night for you. Good night for everybody.
Good night.
Yeah, good night, broski. But anyways, Lacey, we got about 5 minutes left of the show. It's usually the part where me and you go over everything and discuss what's going on through the week, I guess.
Yep.
Sorry, your show topic kind of went off the loop tonight a little bit, but I think it saved
it. It all ties in together, you know.
It's all mental health.
You know, it really does come back to that. It all does.
And everybody, I know we're coming to you on a Sunday tonight. That's my fault on that. Not going to lie, I just needed a day off this week. I was already doing the other show on my other day off, and I was just like, I'm going to move it till Friday. And then something happened Friday night, and we ended up moving it to last night, and then something happened last night, and we ended up moving it to the night, which, hey, we're here. We made it. We did it.
We made it. Still within the week. Every week.
which next week, I think we might be back on Thursday. Who knows?
That's plan.
Things happen. We change every now and then, but that's the plan, to be back Thursday, Wednesday night. For sure be doing the stash. Be on the lookout for our new show, or it ain't really a new show. Be on the lookout for our old new show with Shane. We still haven't really came up with a name yet.
That's right. That's, we we thought about Lacey Shane in the Dakota Show, which would be LSD.
Well,
you know,
no, I came up with an LSD thing, and Shane came up with a trip time. So we were thinking trip time with LSD. But Lacey did give me a point last night when she was writing me about it. Do we really want a drug title in our show? You know what I mean? I'm already doing the stash. Do we really want to?
You know, thinking about it, you know. It might happen.
Who knows?
Because
don't get me wrong, I was thinking the LSD thing, but like you pointed out, like, do I really? I mean, do I want to be known as the LSD comic? I don't. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
it's still in process on trying to think of a name, guys. If you guys can think of anything good, hit us up. I would say hit Shane up on social media, but I think he's been kicked off every platform he's been on. So.
Yes, I think he's still on Instagram for his drawings, but, you know, he gets kicked off of everything. You know, I can't keep up with it. he is the true kingpin.
Right. He is the true kingpin of being kicked off stuff.
Yes. And then, the stash with you and Logan is on Wednesday, correct? And then...
Yeah. Me and Logan don't host the stash, man. We set it up. The host of the stash is Tommy Bong and Danny Tokes. We just know them and set it up for them. In case any cops are listening, okay? Gosh.
Okay.
Don't use real names. Don't be a narc.
Sorry. I know nothing about any other shows at all. I just try to advertise for commercial purposes, so I am wrong. but I should be back on Thursday. We don't know the topic usually yet until about Monday. We let people kind of send questions in on my page on Facebook on Ask Me Levi's, and usually we just take the majority of the questions that were asked and come up with a topic. So we should know about Monday what the new topic will be. Please, if you would like to call in, you can.
Anytime. And that number is 516-387-1831. I don't recommend calling in right now because we only got like a minute left. But, you know, next show, feel free to call in. Call in on the stash. Call in on the show we don't have a name for yet. You know, whatever. Call in, man. We don't mind talking to y'all.
We always like y'all's point of view. And if y'all have any questions about the show that we've just had or anything like that, you can always reach out on my page on Ask Me Levi's on Facebook. You can send a private message. You can send one on our page. Just reach out. We're here for you. And I think that's about it, Dakota. Do you have anything else to add?
No, that's about it, man. Maybe next week I won't say any appropriate joke because, you know, I'm 2 for 2 so far.
Oh, my.
Maybe that can be my thing on here, you know. I just make one inappropriate joke
for
episode.
It really
episode
was my fault last episode. It really was mine. But this one was on you.
She whips her hair back and forth. She whips her hair back and forth. Not no more. But I mean, she whips her hair back and
forth. Oh, my. You know, the true healing, everything is. So, you know, just remember to laugh.
I just want everybody to know, laughter cures everything,
serious.
So laugh, you motherfuckers, right? but you can take this seriously, though. Will Smith, if you slap me, I will sue you. I'm just saying.
I think his slapping days right now are over. Like he said, he really just, you know, he's probably going to be under the radar for a little while.
I don't know, man. Didn't they come out with a new Fresh Prince show? Oh, okay. We got like 30 seconds left of the show. Lacey,
look at you.
If everybody takes anything away from the show, what is it? Remember to?
Roast the world.
Why is that?
Why the world needs roasting.
There you go. Couldn't have said it any better myself.
Thanks. Bye.